1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Now, this is obviously not speaking of the love that you have for your parents. We've got all kinds of natural love, but this specific kind of love is the kind of love that God had for us when we were not lovely. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. It's a special kind of love that comes from God. It's not something we're born with. Everyone who loves this way has been born of God. That's the only way we could get that kind of love. Be born of God, because this kind of love comes from God. Not only we're born of God, but we know God. Whoever does not love with this kind of love that comes from God does not know God, because God is love. If he doesn't have it, that wouldn't make sense. God is love. You'd be in communication on that love. So if you do not have it, you do not belong to God. This is how God showed his love. Now, first it tells us that just God is love. That's what he is. But then it tells us that he expressed this love. God being love, that's just the nature of God. But God expressed this nature, and he said, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's what God is, and this is what God does. He expressed it by sending his Son that we might become alive. This is love. He's defining it now. We see it defined in 1 Corinthians 13. But he's dwelling on this specific expression. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We saw that back in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. That he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's how we define love. Any love that doesn't include the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins isn't love. Dear friends, since God's loved us by sending his Son as a sacrificial death for our sins, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another with this same kind of love. Not just friendship love, not just fishing buddy love, not less quilting sister love. It's a love for people that has the characteristics of the love of God for us. Sacrificial giving to the other person for the other person's highest good. No one has ever seen God. True statement. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. If we're loving each other with this love that comes from God, we don't have to see him. His lives in us with this characteristic that he is. He is love. And his love is made complete in us as we love one another. The completeness of God's love gets more so. In other words, we can receive this love and have our sins forgiven, but unless we share it and give it to others, it stagnates. We get complete love from God. It keeps on coming in when we keep on giving it out. God's love can be made complete in us if we love one another. If we don't love one another, this dies up, atrophies. We can I remember seeing in my early Christian life that my love increased for more and more people. And then it ran into a dead stop one time, and I got that taken care of. And as I keep asking God for more love to give to more people, I get more love to get more people. If I'm willing to love people. Now, we mentioned Lee today. He is, as far as we know, probably the most destitute person as far as love from anybody. He certainly doesn't know the love of God. Not sure he wants it. He wouldn't know what to do with it. But he is, he's starving to death for love. Now, he could receive it and still not choose to give it, and he wouldn't grow. Love is made complete when we start loving one another with the love that came from God. Now, this love that comes from God doesn't, it has a normal expression with the, 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. That's one of the instant evidences of our conversion. We suddenly love other Christians that we couldn't stand before. But this same kind of love is required to be, as we mentioned to the children, that we love our enemies. Now, loving the brothers should be sort of axiomatic, but loving our enemies is a volitional thing. I'd like to talk a little bit about, I've heard discussions and arguments about whether love is emotional or love is willful. And those kinds of discussions sort of leave me, empty. And I want to say yes, but there's something else here. When we think of love that's emotional, we think of falling in love. And we think of love that's willful as something cold, calculated, giving that has nothing to do with any emotion. And they just both seem wrong to me. That when, yes, I love with an act of the will in obedience to God's command, because he said, told us to love God. He told us to love the brothers. He told us to love the neighbors. He told us to love our enemies. So somehow it is willful. It is volitional. I do choose to obey God. But when I choose to obey God, this obedience is not some cold, calculating giving. Because God initially, when I first received Christ, gave to me and gave to you the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. These things are not willful. These things are something that we filled for. So when we want to respond to God, we can respond in love, in obedience, we can respond in joy, we can respond in singing. It's going to be some sort of emotion, but it's not the emotion that's cranked up. It's not cheerleader emotion. It's not a pep rally generated. It is what we received when we first received Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. We received this love. Now we are commanded to take this love that we received and give it to people, all kinds of people, Christians and non-Christians. Now, if we say, I can't, in most cases, that may be true, but it's no longer, it didn't start out being I can't, it started being I won't. I will not. Well, pretty soon, you cannot when you keep on choosing not to. But when you're first filled with the love of Christ by the new birth, then it just flows out of you. We've talked about this before, but one of the things before I can start choose to love, I have to confess to God that I don't love. I got to get forgiven for my prior disobedience, loving God and loving others, and get forgiven for that, and then choose to love. Now, this choice to love will not be some mechanical expression. God is love, God loves. So when we love somebody who needs loving, it will be real. It will not just be choice in some sort of a, okay, love my enemies, I'll love him if it kills me. Him too. It's not that kind of a choice. It's an opening the floodgates of the love of God that he gave us. It just open the door and let it out. Direct it towards somebody who needs it. Now, it can have all kinds of expressions. You can have everything from doing something, like giving a back rub, anything to shoveling the walks, to baking a cake. It can be all kinds of giving things. It can be expressed in hugs. It can be expressed in just kindness. It can just be expressed in the way you look at somebody, that he knows that you love him. That this is not, and it's real. It's really the love of God. So is it obedience? Yes. Is it emotional? Yes. But it's not the kind of emotion that you fall in love with. It's not cranked up emotion. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the character of God. The character of God showing through you. Now, we don't want to. I knew people, several people at times, who said they figured out how to love people. And I was interested. They said, well, they thought of this person, of some good characteristic he had someplace in his life. And they'd think about this good characteristic, and then they could love him. In other words, this guy had to work for it. This guy had to produce to get love. No, you should think of all the awful characteristics in his life. And love him because of his awful characteristics, not because you think of a good one. In other words, you're saying, I'm trying to find out if there's something lovely in him so I can love him. Well, suppose there isn't anything lovely in him. Well, too bad. No, we say, this person needs it. He's starved for it. I have access to an unlimited amount of love, and I'm going to choose to let it go forth, but I can't choose to because I already previously decided not to love him. I've got to get forgiven. And then choose to love this person. Verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Okay? That's the life of it. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. There's another evidence of the Father and the Son. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And when we live in him, and when God lives in him and we live in God, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. When we're in him and he's in us, we're going to have the characteristic of God. We're going to have this love, and so we know. And rely on the love God has for us. He says it again here in last part of 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. Of course, it's living in this kind of love that he's talking about. And God lives in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because, get this very clearly, because in this world we are like him. Because in this world we are like him. When we are like him in this world, we have confidence on the day of judgment. We are like him in this world because he's in us and we're in him. And his characteristics in us, that's love. We are like him. This next sentence is also wonderful, profound, simple. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear is the opposite of faith. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. When we are dwelling in Him, we've just gotten rid of fear. We have confidence in the day of judgment because we're like Him now. We're like Him in this world. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I know people, Christian people, who are afraid to die. Of course, they might not be Christian people, but up to that time, I was many years ago on our granddaughter's first birthday in at a birthday party in California. Heather was saying goodbye to her father-in-law in Turkish and said, Baba, when are you going to repent? And he said, I already have. And she said, when did you repent? He said, the last time you talked with me, a few weeks before. So she told her husband, Adarat, that his father had received Christ. Well, he didn't believe it. He just didn't believe his father had received Christ. Well, his father had emphysema and cancer and heart trouble and was panicked about dying. Very fearful of dying. And convinced Adarat that his father had become a Christian, he no longer had fear of death. In Hebrews 2:14, there's a wonderful statement about that on fear. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The death of Jesus Christ was to deliver us from the fear of death. That should be one of the wonderful things. Now, if a person's a believer who's afraid to die, it's because he either isn't a believer or he's allowed sin to collect up in his life and he doesn't have confidence on the day of judgment. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. All of this love originates from God. None of it originates from us. Our love is responsive love, generated by him in us because that's his nature, that's his character. He says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. If you say one thing, and we mentioned earlier about the consistency of what you talk and what you do. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Because if he loves God, he will love his brother. It's he said, no, the guy is lying when he says he loves God, for if he loved God, he'd obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, keep my commands. The command is to love. If you love me, you love him. So I love you and I don't love him. Sorry, you're lying to me. I remember growing up, one of the worst things you could say to anybody was call him a liar. That was way back 60 years ago. That was a 70 years ago. That was a non-politically correct could call somebody a liar. In most cases, when we call them liars, they were liars. That's why they didn't like to be called liars. But it was a, and I still run into it today when people say that way. Well, God says it here. He said, you're lying. He says it back in 1 John 6, 8, and and hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Not possible. So the evidence of our loving God is loving our brother. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see it back in John 13, 34 and 35. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then it says, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Everybody in this world, all the pagans, will know you're a follower of Jesus Christ if you love each other. I think I told you the story of these two girls who came from a church in Yakima. They'd spent our 8 weeks in our school of practical Christianity about 20 years ago. More than 20. And when the last day of school was, however, they both came to me and said, we're going home to Yakima, and the church is in a big fight. It's in a big division. Half the deacons and the pastor one side, another half the deacons on the other side, and it's, and what do we do? And I said, well, you could stand up in church and say, this shouldn't be. Oh, this church has a dim view of women speaking up in church. This is an exact quotation. This is the way the conversation went. Oh, I said, oh, I understand. Well, I would call on one of the pastors or one of the deacons or the pastor. Doesn't make any difference which one. Just call on any one of them. And when we get there, you say, sir, we don't think you're saved. They're going to get very upset with you for saying, we don't think you're saved. Say, well, the scripture says, Jesus said, by this, all men will know you're my followers if you love one another. You don't love one another. We don't know you're followers of Jesus Christ. You might be, but the burden of proof is on you. I sort of suspect they didn't do that when they got back to Yakima. But if I'm to expect you to be believe that you're a Christian, and you clearly don't love somebody, you just told all the worldly people to doubt that you're saved. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And if you don't love one another, they've got no good reason to think you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is a love that comes from God. You receive the nature of God, the love and the joy and the peace. This is something that's simple and easy, but people find it very hard. How can something be simple and easy and be very hard? He says he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us a command, tells us we have this. The reason it's hard is we are not willing to admit that our attitude toward our brother is sin. And we can't put love on top of hatred. So I've got to get rid of the hatred before I can start loving. Once I choose to love from a clean slate, from a clean position, God gives it to me, and it is emotional. It's still not like falling in love, but it's a great, great, kind concern giving for this person who needs it. And you have it. I thank God. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. A postscript. I recognize, I mentioned this last week, but I am more than willing to spend time with each of you. You say, me, seek and preach to me privately. Well, maybe. But also this time is also a time that you are free to tell me what's wrong with me. I mean, it's not a two-way. It's a love one another business. And we can practice on each other. But there'll be also learning how to put into effect things we already know from the Scripture, and that we'll become more and more like the Lord Jesus. There's a verse in Malachi toward the end, 3:16, the third chapter. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So let's meet and talk with each other. And the Lord listens in. And a scroll of remembrance is written in his presence because we fear him and talk about his name.